Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Thursday, October 3rd. Today we're joined by Eric and Kate to discuss a concerning trend in breast cancer diagnoses among young women. A recent study by the American Cancer Society shows more young women are being diagnosed each year, despite an overall decline in breast cancer deaths. Let's dive into this issue. Eric, what's your take on this research?
Well, Ted, it's a bit of a double-edged sword, isn't it? On one hand, it's fantastic that we're seeing fewer deaths overall from breast cancer. That's progress we should celebrate. But this uptick in diagnoses among younger women, that's seriously worrying. We've got to ask ourselves, what's driving this trend? Is it something in our environment? Are our lifestyles changing in ways we don't fully understand? Or is it simply that we're getting better at spotting cancer early? Whatever it is, we need to get to the bottom of it, and fast.
I've got to jump in here, Eric. You're painting this increase in diagnoses as if it's all doom and gloom, but that's not necessarily the case.
Hold on a second, Kate. I'm not being pessimistic, I'm being realistic. We can't just brush off the fact that more young women are facing this life-altering diagnosis. Take Siobhan Donovan's case. She was diagnosed in her third trimester.
But that's exactly my point, Eric. Siobhan's case is precisely why we need to focus on early detection and support for young patients. She had no family history, yet caught it early enough to fight it.
A win?
That's a win in
Kate, are you serious? She ended up with stage 4 cancer. How can you possibly call that a success story? We need to be asking the tough questions here. Why is a 33-year-old with no family history developing such aggressive cancer in the first place? That's the real issue.
Let's take a step back and look at this from a medical perspective. Dr. Ann Partridge from Dana-Farber mentions that younger patients often develop more aggressive breast cancer. Eric, what do you think this means for treatment approaches?
It means we need to seriously up our game, Ted. If younger women are developing more aggressive cancers, we can't just stick to the status quo. We need to start screening earlier. Absolutely, but we also need to consider more intensive treatment strategies. We're talking about women in the prime of their lives here, mothers, career women, young adults just starting out. We owe it to them to throw everything we've got at this disease.
Now hang on just a minute, Eric. More aggressive treatments can have serious long-term effects on young women. We're talking about potential fertility issues. Early menopause.
Kate, I understand your concern, but we can't let fear of side effects prevent us from saving lives. These aggressive cancers don't respond to kid gloves. We need to hit them hard.
But Eric, you're missing the forest for the trees here. Yes, treatment is crucial, but so is quality of life. We should be focusing on targeted therapies and support programs like Dana-Farber's Young and Strong program. These initiatives help young women navigate the entire cancer journey.
I'm not dismissing support programs, Kate. They're important, no doubt, but they don't address the root cause. We need to invest more in research to understand why these aggressive cancers are developing in young women in the first place. It's great to help patients through their journey, but wouldn't it be better?
Both of you raise valid points. Now, let's look at this issue in a historical context. The rise in young women's breast cancer diagnoses reminds me of the spike in lung cancer cases in the mid-20th century. Eric, can you draw any parallels?
Absolutely, Ted. It's a great comparison. Cast your mind back to the 1950s and 60s. We saw this massive spike in lung cancer cases, particularly among men. At the time, people were scratching their heads, wondering what on earth was going on. Fast forward a few years, and boom, we figured out it was largely due to the rise in cigarette smoking. But here's the kicker. It took years of research to establish that link definitively. We might be facing a similar situation with breast cancer in young women. There could be some environmental or lifestyle factor we haven't identified yet, quietly increasing cancer risk for an entire generation.
That's quite a stretch, Eric. Lung cancer and breast cancer are completely different diseases. We can't just assume there's some hidden cause like smoking was for lung cancer. Breast cancer is far more complex, and we already
Kate,
know so much.
Kate, you're missing the point entirely. I'm not saying it's exactly the same situation. The principle is what matters here. We saw an unexpected rise in a specific cancer in a specific population. It took time and research to understand why. We need to approach this breast cancer trend with the same rigor and open-mindedness. We can't afford to dismiss potential factors just because
interesting
they're not
points.
Obvious.
Now, another historical parallel might be the discovery of the BRCA gene mutations in the 1990s. Kate, how do you think this discovery relates to our current situation?
The BRCA discovery was an absolute game changer, Ted. It opened up a whole new world of understanding breast cancer risk. Suddenly, we could identify women at high risk and take preventative measures. That's exactly the kind of progress we need to focus on now, using our advanced knowledge to help young women. It's not just about treatment anymore. It's about prevention and early intervention. We're light years ahead of where we were with lung cancer in the 50s, and that's something to be excited about.
I agree that the BRCA discovery was important, but it doesn't explain the current trend. Most young women being diagnosed, like Siobhan Donovan, don't have a family history or known genetic risk. We can't just rely on what we already know. We need to
keep
pushing.
But Eric, the BRCA discovery showed us that genetics play a crucial role. We might just need to look for different genetic factors in these young women. It's not about relying on what we know, it's about building on it. Who knows what other genetic markers we might find?
That's possible, Kate. But we can't put all our eggs in the genetic basket. We need to look at all possible factors, environmental, lifestyle, and yes, genetic. It's not an either-or situation. We need a comprehensive approach if we're going to crack this puzzle and help these young women. Anything
you both raise compelling points. Now let's look to the future. How do you both see this trend developing? Eric, what's your prediction for breast cancer rates in young women over the next decade?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Ted, but I think we're in for a rough ride. Until we can pinpoint the underlying cause of this trend, we're essentially fighting with one hand tied behind our back. I predict we'll see a 20% increase in diagnoses among women under 40 in the next 10 years. It's not a pretty picture, but we need to be realistic about the challenge we're facing. Only by acknowledging the severity of the situation can we hope to rally the resources and attention needed to turn the ship around.
Eric, I can't believe what I'm hearing. That's unnecessarily pessimistic, and frankly, it's irresponsible to throw out scary numbers like that. With all the advances we're making in early detection and targeted therapies, I think we'll see a stabilization of rates and even a decrease in mortality. I predict a 15% decrease in breast cancer deaths.
Kate, I'm sorry, but that's just wishful thinking. How can you possibly predict a decrease when we're seeing an increase right now? That's not logical. We can't just close our eyes and hope for the best. We need to face the facts and prepare for
it. It's not about logic, Eric. It's about hope and progress. We're making advancements every day in breast cancer research and treatment. You're acting like we're powerless, but that's far from the truth. We have brilliant minds working on this problem, and we're seeing real results. Your doom and gloom attitude
isn't helping. Hope doesn't change facts, Kate. We need to be realistic about the challenges we're facing. False optimism won't save lives. We need concrete action, increased funding for research, and a willingness to consider all possible factors contributing to this trend. Anything less is just burying our
heads. Clearly, this is a topic that sparks passionate debate. While we may not agree on the exact trajectory, it's clear that breast cancer in young women is a critical issue that demands our attention and resources. Thank you, Eric and Kate, for sharing your insights and predictions. As we wrap up, I'd like to remind our listeners that early detection and support are crucial. Whether it's using tools like Dana-Farber's Assess Your Risk or seeking support from organizations like Marissa's Mission, there are resources available. Stay informed, stay vigilant, and don't hesitate to reach out for help if needed. This has been Ted for Listen 2. Thank you for tuning in.